Hi guys, welcome back to the Let God podcast. You're listening to me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Ayafa.
So today's episode is a little bit more of a random one. It's an assortment, if you would, a pick and mix, as it were. As you guys know, we have our anonymous Google form, and you guys have been very lovely sending us all your questions, your dilemmas, your ideas and queries for episodes and that sort of thing. And so we just kind of compiled some which just fell under the umbrella of miscellaneous. Like, there's not really a consistent theme. However, we think these questions are really important, and so we're going to dive into them. And so some of the topics we're going to get into, obviously stick around to listen if you want to know everything that we discuss, but we'll be discussing being a career-driven Christian woman, anxiety spreading the gospel, TV shows Christians should and shouldn't watch, etc., etc. So just to give you a flavor of what's in store. But as always, before we begin, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Amazing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to be together and just discuss the topics that our LGP family has sent in. And we ask that you, Holy Spirit, would just be present in this conversation and lead us and direct us and help us to reflect your heart on these topics. And I pray that this is an edifying conversation and one that brings wisdom and light to, you know, somewhat confusing and maybe tricky topics. And we thank you for being here, and we pray that this conversation brings you all the glory, Father. In your name I've prayed. Amen.
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 So guys, before we get into the topic, we're going to have another icebreaker, as we do usually do. And this time we're going to be discussing a Instagram story game that we did a couple of weeks back. For those of you who do follow us on Instagram, by the way, if you don't, please join that number at Let God Podcast. And we did celebrity couple or slash famous couple edition, this or that. So it was basically, you know, you just choose out of the two couples that we put together who you prefer for any reason. We didn't ask for no explanation, no rhyme and reason. It could just be because you have a deep hater spirit. Me too sometimes. But we're going to discuss some of our favorite answers from that. Do you guys have it up? Do you want to lead with some of your faves?
I found it very strange how John and Chrissy Teigen were winning over the Beckhams. I don't know, something about that just didn't make sense to my head. And I'm not a fan of either. There was just something I was just like, this not taken to my spirit.
No, me too. For reasons that will remain undisclosed, I did not agree with this verdict.
I remember somebody, one of our friends. Oh, sorry, I want to shout somebody out. One of our friends literally swiped up to the story and was like, how are they winning this? And I was like, I don't know. Like,
they even won by 61%. Like, that was not even a close margin. But do you know what it is? I think sometimes it's just,
yeah,
you know. But I will say this, like, the Beckhams, like, I know not everyone takes them, but they are just a beautiful couple. Like, they've got gorgeous kids, like, been together for a while, like, yeah, love them. Yeah,
British culture.
Yeah, Britain, England, you know.
Maybe a lot of our followers might be American though, so maybe they didn't have as much of a
like resonant relationship. I'm a charge it to that. I'm a charge it to the nationality.
I wouldn't say I have a hatred, but I just like all celebrity couples, to be honest.
What about the Disney ones, maybe?
I like Troy and Gabriella versus Mitchie and Shane. That one was right.
Who won?
Troy and Gabriella won. Troy and Gabriella. I think Mitchie and Shane. What did they have in common? Answer.
I feel like it should have been a bit more close.
Apart from the fact they sing.
They sing.
They
That's
both
a good point.
Had really healthy hair. So let's start there. Okay. Shane had some locks now. Come on. And they were both rock stars. Like.
You know, it makes so much sense how Mitchie and Shane would be Wanipa's favorite couple. Like, anyone who knows Wanipa personally, like, that just makes so much sense.
No, I love them. I'm gonna stick beside them. I can't deny those allegations.
I felt indifferent to these two. I was just like, oh, whoever. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what
I feel
was
like?
The
Troy and Gabriella
one
have a stronger narrative arc, I think. Sorry, continue.
No, facts. Sorry. I was just saying, like, the toughest one was Randall and Beth versus Jack and Rebecca. And I can see that one, I know exactly why that one swung the way it did, because otherwise it was a very close contest between those two.
I can't even remember who I voted. Let me try to find my vote in here.
Oh, I definitely picked Randall and Beth. BLM.
I think I did too.
Watch This Is Us.
Oh, girl, you need to get into it, child. No, it is a...
I'm okay.
It is so good. It's not sad.
It's really good.
Why is Rudo always saying she's crying on Twitter?
Because there are sad...
cries at everything. Stop.
It's really not sad. It's not a sad show. The first seasons are much sadder than the consequent ones because of, like, they're building the characters and, like, their background. It's, like, their kids, it's their youth, and they grew up in, like, 80s America, so it's, like... They got a whole bunch of drama.
Problem.
But it's actually such a good show. I would recommend
it. It's so well written as well. That's what I like about it.
They ate. I can't find my vote in here, but I'm pretty sure I voted Randall and Beth. I hope I did.
Oh, this one would have upset MH. Moesha and Hakeem versus Will and Lisa. So Moesha and Hakeem from Moesha, and then Will and Lisa from The Fresh Prince. Oh, they were destroyed, honey. The floor was white,
didn't
baby.
Watch. I did not watch The Fresh Prince like that.
Girl.
So I don't have no affiliation with any of these characters. I'm like, oh, happy for you. Do you know what I mean? But I don't like Moesha and Hakeem either. I feel like Moesha and Moesha and Q? Yes.
I have not seen beyond series 1, episode 3 of that show. So I...
Oh, no, it's so cute. I literally watched it all of last year. Like, oh my gosh. I love it.
They've done a reboot of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I want to watch it, but I don't know like where to watch
drama.
It.
It's so good. Like, where can I watch
it? They said that they didn't want it to be is a reimagining.
Yeah, it's Yeah, because the original, I think if they tried to make it a comedy, it would have just completely flopped because it was like, this isn't funny, it's not nostalgic, but they've made it into like a drama. Like, there's beef, like, there's gangs. And
where can you watch it? Because I've seen it, I feel like, on the internet space, but I. Okay, I got that answer. I got my answer.
Actually, for those of you who do have Sky, it's on this on-demand channel called Peacock. That's how I watched it. The series is still ongoing. Disclaimer. No, because you know I can be disbarred. Let me not say too much.
Heard. Oh, well, should we do one final one?
Yeah.
I thought, of course, how can we not end with Mary and Joseph and Abraham and Sarah? That one made me cry because, again, one of my friends that she put up in the story, like, Abraham and Sarah were struggle love, and that just literally
It was mistresses, illegitimate children. Lest we forget the multiple, not even once, at least twice, that Abraham pretended Sarah was his sister. So that the residents of the town wouldn't
overthrow them,
rattle him,
ambush them.
Imagine you are opening your wife up to all kinds of debauchery for your own safety. Oh wrong.
I love Joseph though. Like he don't have a lot of screen time, but he ate, and I know he got a special place next to the father. So
no, he does next to the father and his technical son, technically speaking. Like, Joseph was a real man. Like, he didn't listen to the haters.
I love him. The Lord guide him.
No, he did. He did. And he trusted his woman. King.
Did he? Because he needed a whole angel to come back down.
You know, sometimes we need some confirmation from God.
No, but I think he still did. I mean, like thinking about it humanly, would you have trusted your partner if they just told you out of the blue, like, they have a baby on the way, but no, ain't nobody touch them. It's conceived by the Lord. I'd say you're a mad person.
I'll go, baby, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm pregnant, and I promise it's not what it looks like, bro. The fact that he didn't leave immediately that second. King.
Big up him.
Shout out. But Father Abraham, we'll be having words. Anyway, chaps, let's get into the main topics. Who wants to ask the first question?
I'll ask the first one. So some of this person just said, I'm going to read the comment. Love y'all's podcast. Thanks, honey. Love you too. Because it is so fun to hear y'all talk about God in your lives. LMAO, thanks. I was just wondering if you would do one on TV shows. Christians should and shouldn't. Those are in... inverted commas, watch since I've been curious about that. God bless you guys. God bless you too, sweets. So girls, your opinions on TV shows people, Christians, should or shouldn't watch? Do you think there's a rule book?
Now, let me start off by disclaiming the discussion we're about to have, because this is one of them where it's kind of like, maybe I know what I should do. Am I doing it? Are my actions following my conviction? Probably not as yet. And I will hold my hands up and say, Father, I'm opening my heart to be renewed. It's a process of transformation, renewal. But I would say, like, just as when we've talked about music, it's kind of like what's entering your eye, what's entering your heart. Sorry, there's a vehicle that just went past. I was looking for this verse. I believe it's Matthew 6. Let me just get it up before I misquote. Yes, Matthew 6 verses... I can even start from 21.
Mm.
21 to 23. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And like, I know obviously this text has a lot of different meanings, but what I take from that about the eyes kind of being the window to the soul, I guess, is the like the common, like, common phrase. It's like whatever you ingest, that's where your heart is going to be. That's what your thoughts are going to be filled with. And so if you're watching or listening or engaging with things that are contrary to the Spirit of God, like...
Mm-hmm. I'll jump in there with another verse. Proverbs 4:23 from the ESV version says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." And in some verses, it means eyes as well.
Yeah.
"For from it flows the spring of life." And similar to what Winipa said, it is very much... sometimes you wish... It's like you wish to do things, but it's always like a learning process. But I think just trust in your conviction. Like, there's some shows that, like, I've seen people talk about on Twitter or on social media, and people are like, "Oh, it's so good." And I watch, like, I'm 1 minute in, I'm like, I can't watch this.
Right.
Mm. And like, I'll just keep up with the plot because people will talk about it on Twitter. So like, all the scenes that are like more conducive to my spirit, they can put it on YouTube because it won't get demonetized. So I prefer to watch those ones than
that's smart,
then all the like excess stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think for that just works for me because like I still understand the plot and can still appreciate the plot without all of the excess stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. I think there's even some shows that can be like quite casual and like I just don't take to it for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't really doubt myself in that and force myself to do it because everyone else is doing it. I just move on.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you girls said. I'm surprised we haven't even all used the same verse. I'm looking at the verse from 1 Corinthians 10:23 that says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient." And in the ESV as well, it says, at the end, it says, instead of expedient, it says, "Not all things build up." And I think that's a really good way to think about TV shows, music, any of the content that we consume, like, what, like, does it edify you? And I know, like, not every single thing that we consume has to be, like, it would be ideal. In an ideal world, everything that we consume would have, like, this amazing spiritual principle that would equip us for our day-to-day, but that's just not real life. Sometimes it's just a bit of a key. It's a bit of a laugh. It's a drama show. Like, it's a bit of reality TV. And, you know, we can have discussions about what those do to one's life. But I think it's less about the content and more about its impact. Mm-hmm. Because I think in conversations like this, it tends to be like, oh, sexually explicit stuff, blah, 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 blah. But I think there's like something to be said about like how we interact with like violence and like things of that nature. Like
even greed.
Exactly. Greed and things like that. These are the things that we consume shape our perceptions of the world. And so it's not only, just as Winipa said and as Iamfa said as well, it's not only what you take in and how it shapes your heart, but also how it makes you numb or less sensitive to things that are going on in the world. There was this whole thing about like becoming desensitized to images of like black violence last year with the murders of, you know, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, the names go on. And it's just like, if I'm trying to not become desensitized to violence, why would I consume something that is like heavily predicated on people's bodies being like treated as like
objects or being like flung around or like excess blood. And that's just my own personal conviction. But I think, again, less about the content, more about its impact. And I think sometimes there's this idea that art imitates life, but I think to a certain extent, life also imitates art. And so I think it's worth considering if what you're seeing on the screen is something that, I mean, of course, there's like fantasy and things like that, which are meant to explicitly be, not if not utopian, they're just meant to be fantasy. They're meant to be the thing of dreams, surreal, you could say. But like there's something to be said about like if we're seeing not even just behaviors, but like things happening on screen that you're like, oh, that's crazy. But like there's every possibility for that also to occur in real life. And that's not a reality you would want to see. I think it's worth considering how we engage with that. And like, oh, as a lighter example, one of my friends, I was going to send her this episode because she'll laugh. I remember when she told me this, she was like, when she was 14, she used to watch Bad Girls Club because it was just a hilarious show. If anyone doesn't know what Bad Girls Club is, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a bunch of bad girls who are literally in essentially a sorority house, like a house. They live there, put up in like this luxurious house, and it's sort of like Bad Bees meet Big Brother. So they're essentially like fighting each other, you know, they're bickering about men.
But like actually like fighting.
Yeah, actually fighting. Like that's what's called Bad Girls Club. So yeah, they fight, they argue. Like it's not even like, it's not like they're fighting for a man or like, it's not like The Bachelor. Or, I don't even know if there's a prize at the end. They're just literally bad girls in a house. Like, and my friend told me that she had to stop watching it because she used to like, there was such a spirit of anger behind that show where the characters in a specific season that it would like, not even try to be super religious, it would like infiltrate into her life. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but I'm telling you, this is what she told me. She was like, it was so bad. Like, when she would get angry, she would start punching walls. She'd start, like, speaking to her mom crazy when they would argue. And it was because she was watching Bad Girls Club.
That's not even funny.
It's hilarious, but, like, I'm actually, like, being serious. Like, there are real-life repercussions on a serious note, guys, about the things that we watch, and it's not just always sexually explicit content. It's just like, right. If you're watching Bad Girls Club and you realize you got an attitude with everybody who glances at you one way, it's just like, maybe you shouldn't watch Bad Girls Club, you know?
I think there's also like a point in there about like, if TV in general, if a show is becoming like your idol, so it's not even like the content, it's just like the emphasis that you put into it is kind of distracting you from other things. Like literally making you escape reality. It's like, come back down, baby. Like there are souls to be saved, honey. Yeah.
definitely.
So the next question, I'll just read it out. Hi guys, I love the work you do. Wait, I'll start from the question bit.
Okay.
But could you chat about being a career-driven woman while also having Jesus? There's a ton of stereotypes being a woman in STEM / other fancy subjects, an unspoken pressure of being a woman in God while pursuing a career. So I think she's just asking about how to navigate being a career-driven woman while keeping God in the center of your life. Any initial thoughts?
Without being reductive, my initial thought is that I think what God has been so intentional with what he's gifted us with and the talents that we have, even when that stretches to our academia. So I feel like it tends to be external pressures, which the person who asked the question made clear. It tends to be external pressures that say that being a woman of God has to look in a specific way, and maybe that sometimes clashes with what your career as a person in STEM or in whatever else, what other, you know, sort of fairly demanding subject may look like. But I think that's something that we have to separate. Like, what God requires of me is not necessarily what other people's, well, not much, other people's perceptions of what womanhood in God looks like. And that's okay, because it's between you and God, not you, God, and the next man. You know what I mean?
I think also just, like, remembering that, like, the two are not inconsistent, or they don't have to be. Because, like, looking at it from both sides, like, there's many times in scripture where God emphasizes his desire for us to do our best at the things that we set our minds to work hard, etc., to be resilient and have all these characteristics that go along with being a working and driven person. And equally, on the other side, there's a lot of scriptures about making sure that you seek God first and not letting your work kind of become the center of your life, and not kind of prioritizing the accolades and the achievements more than the God who gifted you with them. So I think it's just about like putting everything into that perspective, like who you are in the eyes of God, what your work is in the eyes of God, and not, as Mary Hannah said, other people. And so I think, I don't know if I kind of went about this question from a slightly different angle. I didn't immediately think about it as like the person thinking about ideas of Christian womanhood. I kind of thought about it as like, I don't know, I kind of just approached it as similar things we discussed in the episode we did with 2911 about not putting your work before your worship and that sort of thing, and just making sure that everything is in perspective and that you remember that the achievements themselves are nothing without God, and that everything that we do is meant to bring glory to Him. So I think that would be my advice, to keep God in the center at all times.
I think in addition to what you girls have said, is also about priorities. Mm-hmm. So making sure that God is your number one priority rather than your career, because there's some things in life that are so fickle. Like, you can lose your job one day, you can lose your house, you can lose so much, but God is always constant and consistent. So I think just making sure that God is your ultimate priority, and that ultimately helps you as well, because there's so many times where you can pivot in life and you might decide, like, or God might tell you, like, this isn't the right career for you, and then you pivot, while other people will be grappling with the fact that, my degree matches this exactly. How would I go to another job that I haven't done a degree for? And it also gives you a bit of freedom, knowing that everything will work out for your good in that sense as well. Yeah, so just as long as God is your number one priority, I don't think there should be any cause of concern of being able to being a woman and a career-driven woman, I mean.
Yeah, Ayomfe, as you were speaking, that was like a really great point. It reminded me also of this idea of identity and where we place our identity, because like seeing who we are as a career-driven woman, or defining myself as a woman in STEM or a boss babe or whatever, a corporate babe, those things, like having your identity in those things, is so insecure, and it can be rocked so easily, either by other people maybe surpassing where you think you should be, or it can be rocked by you feeling uncertain about the path that you're on. But I think if your identity is firmly rooted in Christ, like, He is unmovable, unchangeable. MH will tell you He's imper edem, or whatever it says on her neck.
We're gonna get to that in a second.
He's always the same. And so I think just having your identity grounded in that, because I think so much of our culture today is telling us, like, you have to be defined, like I've said this before, by what's on your LinkedIn profile, what you can put in your Twitter bio as a quick little woman in tech, woman in STEM, Forbes 30, under 30. Ultimately, none of those things matter to God. Like, they're a blessing, and he's granted those things to you, and He wants you to use them for your good and for His glory, but they're not the sum of who you are. Like, you're much more than that. So I think keep that in mind while working towards your career type goals.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, since I did just mention imper edem, am I saying that right?
Before the semper, Latin girlies, semper, like siempre.
Oh no, honey, the Latin girlies are gonna drag me. I even studied law. I should have a basic understanding of the Latin things. Anyways, moving smoothly on to our next question. Well, it wasn't really a question, it was just a topic suggestion. Someone said tattoos and piercings as a Christian. We actually did discuss this in a live at some point, but y'all don't be following us on Instagram, so we're gonna talk about it again. MH, why don't you kick this one off?
Again, just to echo what Winifa said, we've definitely spoken about this on Instagram, and on our live we did say that all of us have a piercing, lobes, like just ear piercings. Yes, all of us only have ear piercings at this present moment. And I have two tattoos, so to answer your question, we're not against piercings, and I personally, Mary Hannah, just want to clarify, that's Mary Hannah speaking, I'm not against tattoos. I've got two, one on my neck and one on my like rib cage that I've all got all last year. One in the first one in April, the second one in November. I think when it comes to tattoos specifically, there's scripture against it, and people have sort of looked at that and examined it. And, you know, there was a time where when I still had Twitter quite a while ago, I think it was 2020, somebody's like, oh, they were against tattoos as a Christian because it's the glorification of the flesh. And I thought that was very interesting because I'd never heard that argument or that idea before. And so I sat with it. Like, getting a tattoo for me was not the end of the world. It was just something that I wanted. I thought it was pretty and I wanted something that mattered. I thought the idea of having something on me forever that meant a lot to me, I really liked that. And so I was like, God, you know what? If you don't want me to get it, like, I'm not going to get it. It's not the end of the world. But then I thought about it for like well over a year, maybe 6 months at the least. And then I was just like, yeah, God ain't told me nothing different. And so I got them. But I think be wise with permanent decisions like that in terms of not only the spiritual or like the personal quality that it has to you or importance, but also just fairly basic things like, is it going to give you drama at work, in your home, in which you live? If you live with fairly conservative parents, like, God is not the author of strife, and I don't think a tattoo is worth all that drama. It's literally art, you know. So
I would say, yeah, that, like I did mention in the live as well, I know that there is a scripture in Leviticus that specifically refers mm-hmm. to like tattooing and piercing your body for the dead, but that in context relates much more to like practices of witchcraft and
like pagan worship,
yeah, mm-hmm. honoring the dead in that type of ceremonial type way, which is obviously not, well, I hope it's not the way people are getting tattooed today. Well, most of them, some people might be, hey, they're on their journey. And I know it really does vary from church to church as well, opinions on this, because obviously you guys know I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Like, it's not like a forbidden thing in the church, but it's very much like something that they're not too down with, like tattoos and piercings and stuff. And that comes more from a place of like, oh, you know, your body is a temple, like set apart mm-hmm, for holiness mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, and you should keep it in a certain way originally as God made it and stuff. And they kind of shy away from all types of adornments that would elevate your physical carnal body. So SDAs don't really be wearing jewelry and stuff like that too much in church. Obviously I say I'm an exception. It's not like I'm the only SDA with piercings and whatnot, but I have them, and it's not like I've ever been shunned or told off or anything in church. And so I think it's very much a personal conviction thing that comes down to, yeah, it's between you and God. And like MH said, if it's going to be more strife than it's worth, you won't die. Do one of them press on things that you used to do at year six school disco. But other than that...
No, they've even made some that last like 30 days, so you can really enjoy the...
I see them on my Instagram adverts as well. Yeah. And even, you know, for the Y2K girlies, they do tramp stamp ones.
Tramp stamp?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Never in my life would I do such, but hey, if that's your thing, if that's your fashion with a low rise, do it. I am out of curiosity, would you ever get a tattoo?
Probably not, because I can't think of anything
that you would
at
like.
This moment know that I would like, and I don't like pain.
It doesn't hurt that bad, girl.
And
oh, girl, just because
my parents have said enough about my earrings, so I think I thought she would send them over the edge.
Oh, you see, that's fair.
Fair.
I don't like drama.
I'm too indecisive, truthfully. I would get one thing and then the next day I'd be like, child, I don't even want it no more. Like, but then my parents are cool with that sort of thing. My mum has like 7 piercings in her ears, so if she were to turn around and say anything, I'd be like, so what happened here? And here and here and here, and she had her nose like, as well,
like tribal. Well, not she has lines and circles.
Oh,
But she says they're not tattoos because they're not called tattoos, and they weren't called tattoos in the.
They're just in her day and age.
She didn't even speak English in her day and age.
She didn't have the word for tattoo.
These ain't tattoos.
Yeah, but I had
these
a dream that
markings.
I got the Let God podcast, like the triple thing.
I would get that with y'all. I would 100% get that. I would get that with
the only one I would get.
I need to get it somewhere.
Think about this one. This is a permanent.
Permanent decision. Because the only place I would really think to ever get anything is here. Like my, I'm pointing to my inner forearm. But
like your wrist. Employability child. Wrist. You're a corporate lawyer, dear.
Yeah, I know. I'll even be going into client meetings like this. Good evening. Thank you so much.
Guys, I wish you could see her. Her arm is literally in her t-shirt sleeve.
I really be put. I was putting on a whole like production, a whole Ryan Coogler show, and you guys couldn't even see.
Anyway, guys, if you see us with a cute little LGP trio tattoo, you just heard it here first. That's very cute, though.
Okay, this is the last question. So this person's saying, hey, I'm new to the podcast, but I'm a young conservative Christian, and it's hard right now to have a political view. Advice on being able to speak my truth, comma, defending myself, comma, crossing the line of arguing. I get attacked, full stop, a lot. This is a tricky dilemma, because I think having a platform, it is important to be true to what I believe, but also not prioritize that over like the realities that other people live, if that makes sense. So basically, to summarize, I thought about this question, well, this dilemma. I think the first thing that I would tell anybody, regardless of their political affiliation, is to not conflate your politics with your religion. I think that's the most dangerous thing to do. Mm-hmm. And historically, that has led to a lot of violence and trauma. Religion is deeply personal, and the political also can be deeply personal. But to like purport your political affiliation with one party as an extension of your religious or spiritual beliefs can be very dangerous, because not one party in any government system across the globe has a monopoly on biblical values or on the basic biblical tenet, like Christian tenets of loving God first and loving your neighbor. And so I think, I don't know where the issues are necessarily coming from, but me personally, I would never conflate. I'm Christian, and if I choose to vote one way or the other or not vote at all, that's my political decision. But who I am as a Christian, yes, it impacts that to an extent, but I would not make those almost synonymous or to the point where they're inextricable. And I think that's where we see a lot of issues like, oh, because I'm Christian, I believe this, I vote this. That's not true, because you're essentially saying people who don't vote you the way you vote are not Christian, and that's not true. I also think there's a part where you said advice on being able to speak your truth. Harken back to our episode 2 or 3 weeks ago about what is truth. I think the idea of my truth is a little bit oxymoronic, because, well, Zoe said it last week. If you haven't listened to the episode with Miss Zoe Alexandra, it was amazing. Please go listen back to it. She said something so profound. She said there's a difference between truth, like a factual thing, and the truth, which as believers we believe comes from like the word of God and the revelation of who God is. So in that sense, I think the only truth that we should be concerned about, or the truth that takes the highest priority, is the truth of the word of God. And again, God's word is clear about loving him and loving our neighbors and the format that that takes. And so that, I think, should influence your political affiliations more, perhaps, than other things, if that makes sense. And allowing that to be the truth, the ultimate truth that guides your life beyond the truths of poverty, of discrimination, of, you know, financial issues, of tax, you know, whatever concerns you have when you're voting. Defending yourself, I'm not gonna lie, dear, you're in a tricky situation. I gotta hold my hands up. Like, you know, me, I'm not concerned. I don't affiliate with any such political party, so I can't.
No big C, no small C, baby.
So I can't, you know, I can't give too much thought to that. I think, honestly, from like girl to girl, not as a spiritual advisor, just MH to you, I would just probably keep some just of that to myself.
Fermez la bouche.
That means close your mouth in French for those who are not well acquainted. I would just be keeping this distance to myself a little bit. You know, if you know it's going to cause you drama, like not even trying to be dismissive, because I know this is serious, but if it's gonna cause you any like drama voicing some things, it's okay. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, as we said. Crossing the line of arguing, I don't know what you girls have to say about that.
I actually just had something on this kind of defending your point, self versus arguing. And it's a discussion that the three of us were actually having one time in the group chat about whether you get more peace from being right or from like just letting an argument lie. And if you're the sort of person who obtains peace from being right, you will never have peace. Because in this world, like, just as you phrased in the question, your truth, even though we have said ourselves that we believe the truth comes from the revelation of Christ, other people are equally going in to exert their positions thinking this is my truth. And so if you guys are at loggerheads about whose truth is more valid in that situation, you're never going to see eye to eye.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, like MH just quoted that scripture, not all things are expedient, not all things are building. And if you think on yourself, clearly from the question, I can even tell that you're somebody who is to a degree passionate about their faith. And if as Christians, our main mandate is to show the love of Christ to other people and to disciple people through Christ's unconditional love and to be a light and to be salt, is arguing with people about political positions the best way to do that? I would most definitely say not. I think wherever you feel barriers coming up between you and somebody, that's already like a blocker to them seeing Christ in you, because automatically they're thinking either this person doesn't have respect for me, they're not seeing my point of view, whatever it is that they might think, even if that's not what you're trying to put across, it's creating barriers, which I think could just be just sidestepped. And
yeah,
if it's a thing of, you know, we all have moments of pride. I don't like to lose arguments. And I like to be heard. I like to voice my opinion. But I also have, like, over the past couple of years, been very slowly but surely learning this lesson that prioritizing my own self and my, I guess, my ego, my need to be right, is definitely not always the best thing to do. I think sometimes choose peace, even if that means you're going to walk away and be thinking, like, I wish this person would share my opinions on, but in the grand scheme of things, what would that do? You know? It's all about perspective. And the one last thing I'll say about this is, I was in a Sabbath school one time and we were talking about what it means to die to self daily, and how, like, I had always just thought about that scripture as meaning, like, you know, you're struggling with this one particular sin which you keep backsliding into, and it's kind of like, oh, let me die to myself and my fleshly desire to do this major thing. But it's kind of like, yes, it is that, but also dying to self can be not prioritizing being right in a situation or reacting with peace when someone is coming at you with anger. So I think, like, sometimes just die to self, bro.
I have nothing more to add.
Well, we hope that helped y'all.
Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for everyone who submitted their dilemmas and questions. As always, our anonymous Google form is open on our link tree, so if you have any more questions, any more episode suggestions, send that over there. And as mentioned, please follow our Instagram, because we're really interactive with you guys on there, and all our social medias. Catch up with our YouTube videos that we've released so far, and I think that's it.
The poll.
We have the poll about our live show, also on, which will be linked in this episode's bio, and also on all of our social media, so make sure to fill that out so we can cater to the numbers that have expressed interest. Yeah, as always, thank you for listening, and see you next week.
Bye. Bye.